The Unemployment Report this morning.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. We're going to get the monthly job numbers in about 40 minutes, and chances are the Labor Department's report will sound something like this. Job losses are slowing, but the unemployment rate keeps notching up toward 10%. But there are a lot of ways to look at unemployment, and Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live to talk about what goes into those numbers. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
So we have job losses and we have a higher unemployment rate, but it's not as easy as we think to connect the two, right?
Well, right. Usually they move roughly parallel, but not always, because they do come from two different surveys. One is of businesses, and that asks, are you hiring or are you laying people off? And then there's a survey of households that asks people, do you have a job? And if not, are you looking? And that's where we get the unemployment rate. And then here's where the squishiness comes in. It only includes people who were actively seeking a job in the past 4 weeks. If you didn't send out a resume or call a potential employer, you're not in that basic measure of unemployed. Heidi Shearholtz of the Economic Policy Institute says that does leave a lot of people out.
The main group it doesn't count are people who want a job, are available to work, and have just quit looking. Those people are not counted as officially unemployed. If we have more people giving up, and that's happening during a recession, that's more indication that the slack, the weakness of the labor market is larger than the unemployment rate alone would indicate.
And Mitchell, how bad is unemployment when you include people who have given up?
Well, you can add about 1% for that group. And then there's a group that are underemployed. These are part-timers who want full-time work. And when you add them in, you get to 17%.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joining us this morning. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
Some numbers making investors happy today. Shares in Europe are up slightly right now, pretty much flat. Asian stocks closed higher across the board. Upbeat economic news sent Wall Street to the races yesterday. The S&P tacked on 2%, and the Dow soared 203 points to close at 10,005. Not long ago, the demand for natural gas outstripped supply, but the recession took care of that. Next week, the International Energy Agency releases its World Energy Outlook, and a rush of natural gas is on the agenda, as Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
In the U.S. and Northern Europe, the law of supply and demand rules. A gas surplus means producers get lower prices. Nikos Safos is a senior analyst with PFC Energy. He says for buyers, it's another matter.
People that use gas for power or for industry, if they can access competitive gas, they are winners. And especially they are winners if they can use this natural gas in order to replace oil.
Because it's cheaper than oil to begin with. But not all producers lose out when there's a glut of gas. He says in Asia and continental Europe, the price of natural gas is linked to the price of oil, trailing it slightly.
So given the fact that you had a rebound in oil prices in 2009, that has actually also brought up gas prices.
Safos says look ahead 10 years or so and there's likely to be a supply squeeze. By then, he says, gas will be in high demand as a cleaner alternative in the transition to renewable energy. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Yeah, the real estate market here at home is pretty much still in the tank, but the story is completely different north of the border. Home sales in Canada are soaring. And prices have reached an all-time high. Reporter Anita Elash has more from Toronto.
Toronto's real estate market is so hot these days that buyers are lining up to get in.
Hello.
Hello.
When this real estate agent arrived for an open house to show off a three-bedroom duplex, there were already six people waiting in line. Sisters Rita and Anna Iozzo are willing to spend up to $500,000. Rita says they've been searching for 2 months and still can't find a house they can afford.
We think it's a pretty good chunk of money, and even things in our price range look like fixer-uppers.
Economists say Canada's housing market was never in as much trouble as the U.S. That's because Canada has a conservative banking system. You need a much bigger down payment and higher income to buy a house here, so there weren't a lot of defaults during the recession. But one thing that did happen in Canada during the recession is that mortgage rates dropped to historic lows. They're currently between 2% and 4.5%, and that has potential home buyers lining up. Stéphane Marion is a real estate analyst with the National Bank.
So these are the best conditions in over 30 years for Canadian households that desire to buy a home.
But those falling interest rates are driving up prices. Adam Brown is a real estate agent who was waiting at that downtown Toronto duplex. He says bidding wars are the new normal, and he expects this house will sell way above the asking price of $489.
It's a seller's market, and sometimes sellers are getting greedy in this market.
Economist Stéphane Marion says there's one big risk in all this, that Canadians will buy themselves into a real estate bubble. But he says Canada's economy is showing signs of growth, so he and others expect the Bank of Canada to raise its benchmark interest rate before real estate prices get out of hand. In Toronto, I'm Anita Elash for Marketplace.
And finally, some parents and right-wing bloggers have complained about a Sesame Street skit that dipped more than its toes in the competitive cable news channel pond. The public TV show aired an episode last week that featured Oscar the Grouch and a friend arguing on the phone about what station she's going to watch for news.
I am changing the channel. From now on, I am watching Fox News. Now there's a trashy news show.
Now, she said Fox News, P-O-X, not Fox News with an F. But people heard it as the latter, and the complaints started rolling into PBS. The ombudsman there said, came out and said producers shouldn't have pulled the trigger on the mention because it was sure to draw fire. Lost in the mix, though, is the fact that the same episode has aired for the last 2 years with minimal complaints. And Oscar's channel is called GNN, the Grouch News Network. Gee, I wonder who they're mocking there. From Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.